Proverbs chapter 31. We've got a... I'm going to read to you from this passage, which is a King James version. And I'm then going to read to you from a version called The Message, and it is a paraphrase. I wouldn't build doctrine from that version, but it is simply, quote unquote, in yours and my language, and it's one man's opinion, and that's what it is. But I want you to hear it in both, if you will, versions. I want to ask this question first, and I'm going to ask several rhetorical questions, and I'm going to answer them, and I'm begging you to stay with me because I'm going somewhere. What are mothers? Are they just mechanical birthing pods that as a result of a biological transfer of genetic material produces another biological creation to keep this human madness continuing? No. No, that's not what they are. They're not just birthing pods to pop out children. Of course not. They are gentle yet strong. Emotional yet stable, forgiving yet capable of tough love, soft yet able to rip your arms off if you mess with their children. Amen. So we have here in Proverbs 31 an apt description of a woman of great price who, oh, by the way, happens to be a mother. Let's stand, please, for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. We're going to start in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The message says this: a good woman is hard to find. Isn't that true, church? A good woman is hard to find and worth far more than diamonds. Her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it. Never spiteful, she treats him generously all her life long. She shops around for the best yarns and cottons, enjoys knitting and sewing. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places like Washington and brings back exotic surprises. She's up before dawn preparing breakfast for her family and organizing her day. She looks over a field and buys it. Then with money she's put aside, plants a garden. First thing in the morning, she dresses for work, rolls up her sleeves and eager to get started. She senses the worth of her work, is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. She's skilled in the crafts of home and hearth. Diligent in homemaking, she's quick to assist anyone in need, reaches out to help the poor. She doesn't worry about her family when it snows. Their winter clothes are all mended and ready to wear. She makes her own clothing and dresses in colorful linens and silks. Her husband is greatly respected when he deliberates with the city fathers. She designs gowns and sells them, brings the sweaters she knits to the dress shops. Her clothes are well made and elegant, and she always faces tomorrow with a smile. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. She keeps an eye on everyone in her household and keeps them all busy and productive. Her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. Charm can mislead and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her everything she deserves. Feast on her life with praises. Amen. Good stuff. Let's give the Lord a hand on that. Amen. That's God's word. Father, we ask you to do your will and way in this service today. Change us to look more like you. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, I want to say, ladies, I doubt any of you have a spindle at home. And if you do, it's an antique, most likely. So I don't believe that this is God's word saying that only ladies that do these types of things are virtuous women, as much as I believe the word of God is making it very clear that women, virtuous moms, if you will, they do what they have to do within the moral bounds of God's word to provide for their family. That's what a virtuous woman does. So let's ask the question to set up our remarks for Mother's Day. So now this is the second question. What is encouraging to mothers? Because that's what I want to be today. I want to encourage moms. So to answer that question, I want to ask the third question. What are mothers gifted at? What are mothers gifted at? And many of those things are alluded to, if you will, in this passage. First of all, folks, they are gifted physically to be a mom. They're the only ones, folks. The world is clamoring to have the first man to have a child. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Women have been physically blessed to produce children, and we should honor them for that. What about nurturing children? They're the best at it. When little Billy gets a boo-boo on his knee, he doesn't go to Dad. You know why? Because he knows what he's going to get from Dad. Suck it up, boy. You better not rub it. You're a sissy if you rub it. Real men don't cry and all that other baloney. That's what Billy's going to get from Dad. And there's an appropriate season for that, but it's not Father's Day today. So they go to Mom. And Mom nurtures that child. Mom cries with that child. Mom has horror over that. Got to squeeze it to get a piece of blood out of it, but nonetheless, she hurts with that kid. That mother, our mothers, praise God, are physically gifted to nurture children. What about emotionally? Our mothers are gifted emotionally. They connect with children better than anybody else. When they walk into a room, they gravitate, most likely, many times, to children. They support people. Moms are absolutely supportive of folks, if you will, within their circle. I have the advantage of being around a lot of folks, and I see this in our moms. They're not just encouraging to their husband and to their children. They support people. They're emotionally driven for that. They encourage people. They heal people. It'll come to me. Julie Rayfield, I remember this like it was yesterday. It's all positive, Julie, I promise. Let me tell you something about Julie that you can't know unless I tell you, because she's not going to tell you, most likely. God used a radio program, Randy Carlson, to expose Julie to the gospel. And Julie got saved. Randy had already been saved as a young man at a Baptist church. And Julie was raised in a different tradition, if you will. And she got saved as a result of Randy Carlson's radio program. Folks, you need to realize that 91.5, they're doing a good work. 99.1, they're doing a good work. So in that room right there, years and years ago, we're studying the book of Job. And Julie and I and everybody else in that room discovers that Job had a bunch of really sorry friends. And listen, sometimes, how many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you, when you had a friend or a family member that was going through a devastating loss, whether it was a spouse or a child or a mom or a dad, and you didn't know what to say, and you contemplated staying away because you don't know what to say. We've all been there. You don't need to know what to say. You just need to be there. I'm here. I got no words, but I'm here. And I'm going to suffer with you through this awkwardness. I'm going to suffer with you through this loss. I'm here. Moms gravitate to that. This lady, and most if not all of our ladies, can conjure up tears when the rest of us are stomping toes trying to get some tears going. The Bible says, mourn with those who mourn. And our moms are really, really good at that. They're emotionally built for that. I shared this in first service, and I think it's only fair to share it in second service because it does not put Dawn in a positive light. And I just, you know, that's my calling. I'm kidding. But first of all, everybody that knows Dawn except Shannon and I, we know the real Dawn. The rest of you know Dawn is this glowing, sweet, you know, wonderful, wonderful person. And all that's true. All that's true. But there is a dark side. There is a Darth Vader that lives deep within. And so she's teaching now, and she's having a ball with these kids, and she looped up fourth grade to fifth grade. So she's now had these kids for 2 years. She loves every one of them. She can name them. She knows their parents' names. She loves them. So this one kid had made it very clear, I'm going to be a pro football player. Everybody in the class knows that. So this one particular day, he spurts it out again. You know, what are you going to be when you grow? I'm going to play for an NFL team. And Dawn just responded, well, you better get taller and get some more muscles. He just loses it right there in front of everybody. And everybody's like, ooh. You know, not May Kay's best day. You know, that's what they call her, May Kay. And Dawn's like, oh, and then Dawn starts tearing up. She's apologized to him every day since. And she's vowed to buy the tickets to his pro games. Okay? That will be her second husband. But nonetheless, kidding. So, but you see what I'm saying? They're just emotionally built that way, spiritually. Our moms are spiritually gifted. Church, moms set the example. One of the things that I always try to praise God for and give you guys, if you will, an attaboy as a church. We're not just a church filled with ladies, even though that would be wonderful. And too many of our churches, if you will, the dads are absentee. The dads and the men don't show up. We praise God, we can't say that. But VBS, where would VBS be without our moms? Not very well. Camp, where would it be without our moms? Not very well. These folks set the example. Praise the Lord. They seek people. I don't know how many times on a Sunday, so-and-so wasn't here today. So-and-so wasn't here today. Moms, we need you to seek people. Merciful. I'm ready to cut ties and move on if something doesn't go right. Merciful. Moms are merciful. They're going to lean towards mercy. They're humble, tender, gentle. Even in the names that we use for our parents, you can see the difference. Mom, soft. Mom, warm. Mom, gentle, alluring, inviting. Dad, hard. Dad, where? Dad, dang it. Yeah, that's Dad. There's the difference. And again, that's Father's Day. We're going to get there. And that's not wrong, church. That's not wrong. But mom is spiritually gifted to be these things. What about socially? Socially, moms are gifted to be safe. inclusive, sensitive caretaker. Intellectually capable. So last night, it's well known here, and if you're a visitor, I had Algebra 1, Part 1 in high school. And by the grace of my teacher, I passed. I don't get math, and that's okay. I'm a preacher. I don't need it. We've got Denise and Todd and other people for math stuff. Watch this. So last night, she felt implored to try to help me in this one. And what was it called?
PEMDAS.
Order of Operations. Yeah, listen, listen. And she's speaking Spanish to me. She finally showed it, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. And she looked at me like, you've never heard that? Never, they don't teach that in Arkansas. Apparently they don't need math in Arkansas either. I don't know. Watch this, church. She said, this is fifth grade math, babe. I got nothing for you. When it comes to intellect, we don't spar. Okay, just tell me what to do. Intellectually, our moms are absolutely capable. They're intuitive. Don't do that. Remember the last words of a redneck? Watch this. Don't do that. They're intuitive. So, what is encouraging? Here it is, church. I've said all that to say this. What is encouraging to mothers, dads and husbands and sons and daughters? The same thing that is her greatest role in the home that causes her to do all these things is also a source of great joy to all these roles. Hang with me. I'm going to explain it. Here it is. The whole buildup of this message has been to say this one word. Responsiveness. Our moms are all of these things because they are being responsive to what they see in our lives. And the one thing that will encourage her is for you and I to be responsive to her responsiveness. Let that sink in. See, in all these things, because she is responding to what she sees in our lives, she sees the need and she responds to it many times expertly. So what would encourage your mother? The same thing, being responsive to her responding to you. In other words, notice it. In other words, thank her. In other words, respond to her. I did not have my iPad available. Did not have a notepad available. So a lot like Southwest Airlines, I just put my thoughts on napkin. Let's hope and pray the same thing turns out it did for Southwest Airlines. Why do moms nag? I'm burning this napkin after this service because I don't want her to have this proof. Why do moms nag? Have you ever heard the phrase, the same thing that makes that person difficult to deal with also makes them great at what they were created for? You see, as husbands, as children, we don't want to hear, once again, over and over, take out the trash. We don't want to hear that. Church, why are they nagging? Here it is. Because she loves you. It's the truth. She wants the best for you. Because she knows you. She's not nagging you because she's a nag. She's nagging you because she loves you. She wants the best for you. She's trying to help you in your situation. Number two, why do moms polish us? Karrison, has your grandmother or mom ever, or you're fixing to go out and they see something, they go, and they start to work on your face? My mom would do, it'd make me fighting mad. You know, come here and give me the headlock and just start rubbing. Watch this. Why do moms polish us? One person said, my mom called that a spit bath. Okay, that's grosser to me, but why do we have to endure that? Our moms care about how we look. Watch this, guys. She's proud of us. Believe that or not, our moms are proud of us, and they want everyone else to see the brilliance that she sees. Lastly, why do moms smother us? Oh, and we're going to make Stacy cry, but that's okay. Y'all ready? Vanita was the best hugger. Can I get a witness? The little general. She was this tall, this wide, ran the world. The little general. But she could give you a hug that took away all the pains of the day type thing. Why do they smother us? Because they, watch this. I got to get it back out because my memory is terrible. Because you are a part of her. You are a part of her. You came out of her. I saw all three. And on the second one, I looked at the doctor and said, "Is that right?" And he looks at me and says, "Yeah, it's fine. It looks like part of hers." "No, it's fine. That's all, baby. It's all good. Sit down." You know? Listen to me, church. Your mother gave it up for you. You came out of her. She loves you, and she smothers you because she loves you. Maybe your mother's not a hugger, but she smothers you in some way to show you love. So, church, listen to me. The best way to honor her is to respond to her responsiveness. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? I haven't pushed this a lot, but I believe it's absolutely appropriate. First of all, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I'm asking you to come forward and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. We'll send someone with you that's gender appropriate, and they'll share the gospel with you. Maybe you're here today and you just want to rededicate your life. Brother Ben, I'm at a place that I need to make a turn, and I need to serve Christ with everything I have. Come forward. We'll make that official, if you will. Maybe you just need to turn this in an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you just want to pray over your mom. Maybe you want to pray for your mom, whatever the case may be. Maybe you need to pray for yourself, that you'll be the person that God has created you to be, to honor your mother. Whatever the case may be, will you come? Let's sing.